message 101 for me since September the 15th. Gospel message is nearly 200 messages, considering the fact I preach multiple homilies about sin in the church, the sin of gluttony. As I was passing by some of the channels this morning, seeing what's going on the boring television, when you preach the gospel for 100 days, my dear friends, television is extremely boring. When you're busy serving God, television is small potatoes, I assure you. But as I was passing by, I caught one of the Christian stations, and the sin that I have been preaching on for nearly 100 days, the sin of gluttony, which leads to Christians being obese, being fat, and being overweight, including moi. I noticed that we really need it. As I looked at the folks on the Christian station, we really need that message. And enjoy, as I've told everybody, enjoy your holidays. Nobody enjoys Thanksgiving through New Year's like me. I love it. I think I love it more than anybody. Enjoy yourself, but we in the church need to get serious about laying off of a whole lot of eating and start eating properly and less. And I want to say again, even on Christmas Day, starting January the 10th, midnight, we're going on our annual 40-day Daniel fast. For those of you particularly, who, it was amazing this morning. I loved the book channel, as well. And I looked at the Miami Book Fair, and everybody was looking trim and slim, and then and beautiful, and, so forth. And then I switched over to the Christian station, and everybody was fat and overweight, with maybe the exception of one person in the little congregation. And so we need to confess that as sin and repent and enjoy your Christmas Day, but don't overdo it. And we all ought to take this more seriously than what we do. Now, that was not planned on Christmas Day, so that is free. And take that as a word of encouragement to you from the Lord to watch yourself while you celebrate. But to the task at hand, Christmas according to Linus. Christmas according to Linus, and I was going to add as a title, but it would have indeed made it too long and cumbersome, but I'll say it anyway. Courage according to Charles Schulz, the creator of the Charlie Brown, the famous, iconic Charlie Brown comic strip, and multiple television shows, including A Charlie Brown Christmas, that I watched as a little boy for many years. And I remember very clearly the center point of that show, when Linus, the least of these, the least of the characters in the Charlie Brown world, Linus, you might recall, was always odd man out. Linus, you might recall, was always appeared to be filthy almost homeless, always a cloud of dust over him, always a blanket, a security blanket. I understand a security blanket. When I was a little boy, I had a security pillow. For some reason, I had to pinch a pillow when I went to bed at night. And so I understand a little bit of that. But be that as it may, Linus, in the midst of an ungodly society, had the courage and the boldness and humbly read what I'm getting ready to read to you, or quote it in a play, what I'm getting ready to read to you in truth. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. And he had to say, fear not. Some of you big and bad Christians, you don't think you'd be terrified if an angel appeared in your room. You'll be pinned against the wall, scared. And the angel, they're so awesome, they would have to say to you, fear not too. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Don't be afraid, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. So there was one angel, and then zip, bam, boom, a whole host of angels came. Now, you know, this rocked the shepherd's world. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you. For your mercy, your love, and your grace, and for what you have done for us in having Jesus Christ to be born into the world, for he has changed everything. We praise you and we thank you for him, and for salvation full and free through him. And Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. Cleanse us from all sin and from all unrighteousness in thought, word, and deed, so that we would be fit for your use to not only preach but to hear. Lord, unstop deaf ears and move the scales from the eyes of people and help them to see that this is not fiction. This is the real deal. This is the true story of your giving your son to be born to die for our wicked, evil, and ungodly sins, so that we can be saved from the torments of hell which we deserve. And Lord, we pray that you would empty us of ourselves on this Christmas day. And where we may be weak, we pray that you would crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit one more time to preach your holy gospel. And we pray for souls to literally be saved and Christians to be revived and your holy name glorified and Jesus Christ exalted. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Christmas according to Linus. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we find men so gifted in certain areas. It is a waste of time to try to become, to try to be original about a story so ancient and so important as this one. And I ran across something the other day that will help you to understand this passage better and fuller beyond what you heard in Sunday school. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, "The birth of Jesus drew the angels from heaven. How amazed the angels must have been when they saw the Creator born as a creature. The word coming as a, that is the word of God, coming as a speechless baby, Jesus the Christ." He said the best commentary on this story is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, and the best response from our hearts is wonder and worship. For the Bible reads in that passage, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. My God, help us to understand and to appreciate what you have done." The first announcement of the Messiah's birth was given by an angel to some anonymous shepherds. And by the way, they were terrified. There's something about those angels appearing as you look through the Bible that discombobulates folks. And then Wiersbe said, why shepherds? Why not to priests or scribes? By visiting the shepherds, the angel revealed the grace of God toward all mankind. For shepherds were really outcasts in Israel. Their work not only made them ceremonially unclean, but it kept them away from the temple for weeks at a time. so that they could not be made clean either. God does not call the rich and mighty. The Bible, in another passage, tells us this as well. He calls the poor and the lowly. He calls everybody. The Messiah came to be both the good shepherd and the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sins of the world. So it was fitting for Jesus to be announced to shepherds and to sheep. Perhaps because, as John the Baptist said, he is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, here to take away the sins of the world. And then Wordsby continues, perhaps these shepherds were caring for the flocks that would provide sacrifices for the temple services. It was fitting that the good news about God's shepherd and lamb be given first to humble shepherds, not to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but humble shepherds. Shepherds, by the way, are not easily fooled. These are real men. They are practical men of the world who have little to do with fantasy. Can somebody say amen? They wouldn't even know to make up a story about seeing an angel and a host of angels. If they said that they saw angels and went and found the Messiah, then you could believe them, for these were real men. God selected hard-working men to be the first witnesses that his son had come into the world. Who would you believe, by the way? A hard-working shepherd working the midnight shift? That he saw an angel? Or some priest who has studied everything about angels? First, one angel appeared and gave the glad announcement. And then a chorus of angels joined him and gave an anthem of praise. For the first time in centuries, my God, help us. The glory of God returned to earth. Dear folks, you can't make this up. This is why even Christians never get tired. I'm talking about truly born-again ones never get tired of hearing the gospel. If brave shepherds were afraid of what they saw and heard, then you can be sure it was real. Fear not is one of the key themes of the Christmas story. Literally, the angel said, I announce to you good news. A great joy which shall be to all the people of the world. He used the word which means to preach the good news, to proclaim the gospel, a word Luke uses often in both his gospel and in the book of Acts. We see here Luke's emphasis on a worldwide gospel. And oh, how the gospel has spread. And oh, how the gospel is spreading today. Thank God for the internet. Something that I thought would be an enemy of the gospel and an enemy of the church when I was ignorant of how powerful it was. When it first came out, I had preachers from Philadelphia, I had preachers from Georgia calling me and telling me you need to really get on the internet and get your ministry on the internet and so forth. I didn't believe them. I thought it was a cursed thing, like I thought television was for many years, and still do to some degree. But the gospel is spreading like wildfire on the internet. Thousands upon thousands of preachers are preaching the gospel all over the world. The good news, he goes on to say, is for everybody, not just the Jews. What was the good news? Not that God has sent a soldier or a judge or a reformer, but that he has sent a Savior to meet man's greatest need. Amen, somebody. Jesus is the only somebody who can meet man's greatest need. And that's everything that a man needs on the inside. It was a message of peace to a world that had known much war. The famous Pax Romana, Roman peace, had been in effect since 27 BC. But the absence of war doesn't guarantee the presence of peace. The Stoic philosopher Epictetus said, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than even for outward peace. Amen, somebody. The Jewish word shalom, peace, means much more than a truce in the battles of life. It means well-being. It means health. It means true prosperity, which does not mean debt. It means security. It means soundness. It means wholeness. It means completeness. Amen, somebody. A deep down thing going on in the soul. We all know people who are busy. We all know people who have money. We all know people who drive Beamers and new cars and have credit cards, and they go shopping and they sit at Starbucks in the mall, but they don't have peace. They don't have joy. And by the way, out of all of the places that are closed, there's one open, and it's called Starbucks. For some reason, we have many Christians who worship at Starbucks, and they don't worship the Christ as they should and respect the Christ. So if you want to go and get some coffee, go ahead on to Starbucks. But you won't find peace there. And you won't find peace anywhere else outside of Jesus. It makes no difference who the president is. I think ISIS has been decimated. But there are many people who are free of war right now, but they still don't have peace. My heart was blessed to see some Christians in Iraq, worshiping the Lord again in church with men and women and children, because the new president came in and destroyed ISIS, at least in that area. And it was a blessing to see Christians sitting in church for the first time in a long time. Amen. But there are many people still who may have peace from war, but they don't have peace from the war inside. There are people right now able to lie down on their bed and get on their computers and sit in their chairs at the table, but they are miserable. They don't have peace on the inside. They have to go and run and find somebody to get with and to be with and to try to make themselves feel better. by being around other people who are just as miserable as they are. It has to do more with character than circumstances. Can somebody say amen to that? One of the things I have tried to instill in my children, your joy and your peace and your contentment comes from the content of your character, not the content of your suitcase or your house or your car or from material things. You are going to be a sad, miserable puppy if you don't trust in God, love God, fear God, obey God, and be faithful to God, and do what you know God wants you to do. Therein lies your peace. Therein lies your Thanksgiving every day of the year. Therein lies your Christmas every day of the year. And you can experience a new year every day of your life. Back to Wordsby. He goes on to say, life was difficult at that time, just as it is today. Taxes were high. Unemployment was high. Morals were slipping lower. And the military state was in control. Roman law, Greek philosophy, and even Jewish religion could not meet the needs of men's hearts. Then God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, with this backdrop, or shall I say blackdrop. The angels praised God at creation, and now they praised him at the beginning of the new creation. The whole purpose of the plan of salvation is glory to God. God's glory, and God's glory had dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple, but had departed because of the nation's sin. Ichabod was written across the nation. Now God's glory was returning to earth, to earth in the person of his Son. His name is Jesus Christ. That lowly manger was a holy of holies because Jesus was there. Emmanuel, God with us. End of quote. Amen, somebody. Now, beloved, according to Pew Research, 90% of Americans celebrate Christmas every year. It is a big deal. However, fewer say that their observance is tied to religious belief or faith. Only 46% of Americans say faith is the driving factor behind their observance of Christmas. I'm a part of that 46%. I hope you are. Christmas is not Christmas without it being connected to Jesus Christ, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what you're doing if Jesus Christ is not the center. On top of that, only 57% of all Americans believe four key elements of the Christmas story, which is not fiction, that Jesus was born to a virgin named Mary, that Jesus was laid in a manger, that wise men guided by a star brought Jesus gifts, and number four, that an angel announced the birth of Jesus to shepherds at night. And so, beloved, for years now, yea, many decades, unfortunately, one of the reasons why, once I was born again, once I got saved, December the 19th, 1979, I immediately turned away from the commercialization of Christmas. I have not bought a gift for anybody for Christmas in nearly 40 years, not even my children. We've always celebrated Christmas by service, prayer, reading the Christmas story, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel with others, as we're going to do today after this service. Of course, we'll have a great Christmas meal, giving God the glory, the praise, and the honor. We've never decorated our house. I think one year, because of the little kitties, little children, I think one year we had a little small tree already prefabricated and ready to go. I did it just for the fun of it. But Christmas has been marred by a focus on shopping for others, not Jesus. Gift giving to other people who are wicked, evil, and ungodly, and who are going to take it back to the store you bought it from and get the cash or get a card or get something else. This giving is not to Jesus. I thank God for the few churches that the pastors have the guts to ask the people to give a huge gift to Jesus through his local church. The end of year gift, they call it. That's good. That's good. That's where the focus ought to be. Because you got 10% of the people in your church who don't have enough money to pay their mortgage. They need some help, or their rent, or their electricity bill, or to even have food on the table for Christmas. Give to Jesus, people. Parties galore, even though with the sexual harassment scandals going all over the place, there was not a whole lot of mistletoe hung on the door this year. Thanks be to God. Some of this hanky-panky foolishness has been tapped down by God. I believe that this sexual harassment explosion of confession and exposure is because of saints praying, God's people praying again. Decorating, feasting, and family gatherings. And a lot of this stuff is good. There's nothing wrong with it. But the focus is wrong. The focus is not on Jesus. While all of these things are good in their place, none of them are what Christmas is about. And as these trends continue, young people and the growing non-religious segment in our country risk never knowing the true meaning of Christmas. The truth of the matter is, some children would have never known the true meaning of Christmas if it had not been for a comic strip turned into a television show titled A Charlie Brown Christmas. Like Charlie Brown in the famous animated Christmas classic, many may soon be asking, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? This was asked back in 1965 when I was 5 years old. Thankfully, for Charlie Brown, he had his best friend, one of his best friends, Linus. Quiet and insecure. As I said earlier, always a cloud of dust. An odor about him. Always had a security blanket. Was not the life of the party at all. A wallflower indeed. No one hardly spoke to him. He hardly spoke to anyone. Linus was the least of these comic book characters birthed and created by Charles Schulz, a Christian and a Sunday school teacher. But he was portrayed as having the most wisdom among his friends at times, who not only knew what Christmas was all about, but quoted the passage regarding the Christmas story that we just read earlier today without deviation, without embellishment on national television, when even at that time some preachers would not read it. Way back in 1965, I remember it well. We gladly watched it every year. Even then, way back in 1965, Peanuts creator Charles Schulz, being the Christian and the Sunday school teacher that he was, had to insist against the wishes of CBS and his animator, Bill Melendez, that the passage be included as the meaning of Christmas. For Charles Schulz knew no other meaning. And there is no other meaning but Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, being born into the world. Bill told Charles, "Man, this is religion. This is about faith. It just doesn't go in a cartoon, man. You're going to offend a whole lot of people and we're going to lose our gravy train." Charles replied, "Bill, if we don't do it, who will?" What a sad indictment against even the church during that time, especially the so-called liberal church, who back in those days, you had folks in the church who did not believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, help us. Even some Baptists didn't believe it. Some Bible folks had compromised on the Word of God. Didn't want to offend people. The age of reason. The result is that little Linus has gone on to preach the gospel and share the true meaning and message of Christmas every year since 1965, when we've had preachers in the pulpit who did not have the courage to preach it themselves. My God, help us. Not believing in the virgin birth themselves. You have nothing to preach, sir, if you don't believe in the virgin born Son of God You have nothing to preach. You're just collecting a check. You hypocrite. You phony and you fake. So, my beloved, if you are confused about the true meaning of Christmas today, you need only to pay attention to the angel's message in Luke chapter 2, quoted by Little Linus. Little Linus, the rejected Little Linus, the one who nobody spoke to, who maybe even Mary didn't care for that much, the one who always seemed to have a little odor about him, a little cloud over his head, insecure with his security blanket, stood flat-footed and said to the church, who didn't believe in the virgin birth anymore, who said to the world who didn't want to hear it, Little Linus, not Charlie Brown, not some of the other characters, Little Linus, the least of these, stood flat-footed and quoted the Word of God, telling people, a world gone mad with shopping, a world gone mad with eating, a world gone mad with a party, ha, jam, jam, boogie, boogie, letting the good times roll. Linus stood flat-footed and in a monotone voice very simply told the world the story of the virgin-born Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the true meaning of Christmas. Somebody ought to say amen. And here's what he said, and here's what I say to you today from the Word of God. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Somebody ought to say amen. The question is, do you know him? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Christmas is about the gift that God sent to man, a gift that came at enormous cost to himself. Christmas is about God extending to man the opportunity to be delivered from the dark night of sin and separation from himself through salvation supplied by his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Somebody ought to shout amen right there to save your soul from hell. Christmas is about great joy, being delivered to all people, black men and white men, red men and yellow men, men who speak 100 different languages, goodwill to all men. Not like the temporary joy that comes from a holiday party, a jam, jam, boogie session, but joy that shines in our lives like a star in the night sky. Without Jesus, Christmas is meaningless. And even Linus knew that. Meaningless! I don't know what you're doing if you're not worshiping Jesus. I don't know what you're doing if you're not praising Jesus around Christmas time. Your family gatherings mean nothing if Jesus is not at the head of the table, is not the center of your gathering. You can take away the parties. You can take away the gifts. You can take away the decorations, the feasting, the shopping, and the gathering. As long as you have Christ, you have Christmas. Amen, somebody. As long as you have Christ, you have Christmas. All day long. As long as you have Jesus Christ, you have Christmas. Oh, in a very real sense. So give him the glory. Give him the praise. Make sure that you drop something in the offering plate at the local church to help people who are less fortunate than you are. Because if you're truly born again, you've been truly blessed. But Jesus is not just for a once a year holiday, my beloved. It's going to be Christmas tomorrow. Oh, yes. For the truly born again ones, it's Christmas every day. He is for your entire life and your entire eternity. Without him, Christmas Day, nor any other day, matters. Without Jesus, you're living a very empty life, a very sad life, a very miserable life, filled with little trinkets that you try to gather around you to make you happy. Do they make you happy? The new mattress that you bought the other day, did it make you happy? The new car you bought, did it make you happy? Truly happy? The shoes you bought? The new hair you bought? The new nails you bought, did it make you happy? Is it making you happy right now while you are alone, miserable in your little room? Without Jesus, you can't have that kind of happiness. You cannot have that kind of peace. You cannot have that kind of joy. You need Jesus. And I don't care if you're in a prison cell, in a dungeon somewhere. If you have Jesus, you'll have joy. And you'll have peace. And you'll have true happiness. If you don't believe me, ask Peter. Ask Paul. Ask Silas. And it is tragic, my dear friends, to die without realizing the truth that even Linus preached. As someone once said, at the end of the day, only one thing matters, and that's Jesus, just Jesus, and nothing else. Jesus matters because he alone can save you from eternal death, punishment in hell forever, and permanent separation from the God who loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross in a cruel death in your place. Do not, dear friend, do not throw away this opportunity to accept the free gift that God sent on that first Christmas long ago that even Linus preached about. Here is how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. One of my favorite hymns is "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." But I said the other day, somebody needs to write a song. Make sure you do not pass by the gentle Savior. Put your faith and trust in him today. He'll be the greatest gift that you will ever give God, and that's you. And you will receive the greatest gift given to man, and that's Jesus. And here's how you trust Christ as Savior. It's very simple. There's some bad news you need to understand about the good news. There's some bad news you need to understand before you receive the good news. There's no good news without bad news. First, accept the bad news, the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. That's bad news. That's not good. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's why Jesus came, because we messed up. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins that leads us to a hell to spend eternity. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. That's why we die. You know dying is not normal. You know watching your family member go down into a cold, dark grave is not normal. It's the most shocking thing on earth. That's what gets people right there. It's not the funeral today. We've gotten used to that. It's when you go down to the funeral, down to the graveyard, and you're looking at somebody who just 4 days ago was sitting at the table eating with you, laughing and joking, and now their body is going down into the grave. We die physically because of sin. We die spiritually, and our soul goes to hell. The body goes to the grave. The soul goes to hell. And that leads me to my third point. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ came on that Christmas morning to die, to save your soul from hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, every prophet, every apostle. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Excuse the expression, but Jesus Christ on Christmas Day was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. We emphasize that here because most preachers don't preach on hell. In most churches, the people have not even heard the word hell in years, but that's where most people are going. That's why Jesus Christ came and died, to save our souls from hell. I dare you to read any one of the Gospels for back-to-back for consecutive days of 20 or 30 days. And you will find a young man, not Winston Churchill, but you will find the first young man who was in a hurry. Jesus Christ was in a hurry to die to save your soul from hell. He was about business. He was not lallygagging around. He was in a hurry to accomplish his task. And that is to die on the cross for your sins, was buried, and then he rose again to save your soul from hell. He was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus came on Christmas morning to die for your sins and for mine, to save our souls from hell. Not for us just to have a nice fun time. Not for us just to go to a Christmas party. Are you kidding me? Not for us to shop and get into debt, buying stuff we don't need for people who don't care, trying to impress people who don't even know you and don't give a flip about you. He didn't die for that. He died to save our souls from hell. And hell is an awful place. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. Hell is a place of constant torment and pain. Hell is a place of darkness, and hell is a place where you will be separated from God and Jesus forever. Now that's the bad news on Christmas Day. The good news on Christmas Day is that God so loved the world that he gave his Son on Christmas Day. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son on Christmas Day. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish where? In hell, but have everlasting Life, said the Son of God, the young man in a hurry. The one born on Christmas Day, announced to the shepherds by the heavenly host of angels. You say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? Somebody asked that question in the Bible, and the answer was and is now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved on Christmas Day. I guarantee you that if you trust Christ as Savior today, you'll never forget your spiritual birthday, because it is on Christmas Day. I almost got saved on Christmas Day. I got saved December the 19th, 1979, and I have not been the same since. And God has been extremely good to me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been good to you, for you to see another Christmas. For so many have, so many didn't. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. That's why he came on Christmas Day. Follow me in prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Christmas is all about. You trust in Christ as Savior and getting saved from hell today. If you're believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was born to die for your sins, to be buried, and to rise again on the third day, pray and ask him to save your soul right now, and I'll be glad to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I understand better now why you came. You came to die on the cross for my sins, to be buried, and to rise again on the third day. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins, my stealing, my lust, my covetousness, my dishonoring of my parents, my hatred and my bitterness, and my lying and other sins that I've sinned in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now on this Christmas day believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, in closing, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com or Gospel Light House of Prayer International and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at DW3 or one of our other emails, forms of communication on our many platforms, DW3@GospelLightSociety.com, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, on this Christmas day, we want to remind you that God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is our prayer.